These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Well, we come to you today on this Tuesday, Kyle Tagge, Phil Mackey, to lay the Timberwolves season to rest because of the Suns draw in the first round. I don't even know if they should bother playing game one, quite frankly. I feel like you're only just risking humiliation starting on Saturday. So, do you want to just start looking ahead to 2024-25 here? Start looking ahead to July on this episode, Kyle?
Yeah, second round mock. I think that's what we're going to do today, right, on the agenda. Who can the Wolves get with pick 43? Because
I want a mock!
I've been told that it's all over. Maybe forfeit the wins. Season didn't happen. Doom and gloom. It's all over.
Yeah.
Thanks for the season. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, review.
I would like to re-ask the same question as last week when you and I were recording, and I gave you my Western Conference playoff opponents ranked in order of favorable to least favorable. And I put the Suns as the least favorable. And you pushed back at it. You had the Suns, I think, outside your top three. After watching what happened on Sunday, which I will say, by the way, if you're the Wolves and you're going to make adjustments to face the Suns, this is Judge theory, and I do believe it. I don't think you would have made those adjustments for Sunday. I actually think you would have saved those adjustments for game one, but we can talk about that. Are the Suns still outside your three, or are you a little more nervous about the Suns than you were 5 days ago?
I think the Phoenix Suns are a good team, and I don't think I pushed back on that last week just because we differed. I will go to my, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I have some takes on Judd's take and just takes in general about facing this specific team. But I'll go to my grave saying I just didn't want to play the Lakers. That's just me. So if they would have won on Sunday, they would have been the 2 seed. And then you would have played some combination of probably the Lakers or the Suns. You know, the funny thing is that if they would have won on Sunday, there is very much still a path that they could have ended up playing a lot of the same teams, right? Like, I don't think the Lakers are easy. The Suns have shown in 3 games that they are a very tough opponent. I still think the Pelicans provide a lot of issues as well.
Agreed.
Maybe Golden State, but, you know, Sunday was tough because Dane and I did a pod that night, and they clearly got punched in the mouth again and never really responded. I mean, they even got kind of punked a little bit by Brad Beal, storming his way all around the court. So the vibes were very low. On Sunday online, in the chat, when we were doing a show, I woke up Monday, kind of had 24 hours to digest it, think about it. And again, to your question, you were right that that's the toughest matchup. But I don't know. I don't know if you want to just spin this into a little Minnesota sports fan talk. But
yeah, let's wherever you want to go.
I'll be super honest. And again, one thing I really do believe, I hate the phrase like voice of the fan. I don't think there's any voice of any fan base or whatever. Everyone should fan the way they want. But a lot of quitters. Like, I don't know if it's therapeutic to just be like, oh, over, Suns in four.
It's a defense mechanism.
I don't like if you're just like, it's, and I get it.
Because if you can say it and put your shield up before it happens, then it hurts a little less when it happens.
And that's
I think that's
fine.
What people's, it's like a sports fan defense mechanism.
And that's totally fine. I do believe that there is no more hardened fan base than Minnesota fans, because on a men's side, they haven't even sniffed a good team, you know, in any of the football, baseball, basketball in a long time. So if that's how you wanted to respond to Sunday, I get it. If that's how you woke up Monday, I get it. I just am the complete opposite. And I don't want to share too much of them. Like, I'm probably the pettiest person, you know, maybe borderline on being a douche, but like, I want to compete in everything, including getting my bags off the carousel, like, you know, just anything I can compete in. So
you check bags, huh?
Yeah, I check bags. I got a lot of stuff to pack, a lot of shoes. The Suns are going to present a ton of problems, but I've watched the Minnesota Timberwolves for far too long that whenever they get even remotely a sniff of their own bleep, they just like don't meet the expectations. They don't play to the moment. So if they were playing the Mavs or the Clippers or the Lakers in the first round, the whole narrative would have been like, well, you know, they were 3-1 against this team and they looked pretty good and like they should be the favorites and this is our year. And then what if they just get punched in the mouth on Saturday and now they're down 0-1 and it's like, wait, whoa, where did that come from? The Suns were the only team that punched the Wolves all season, and now you have a whole week to be like, okay, we're back to being the little brother. We're back to, you know, there's no surprises here. You have not been able to even remotely compete with this team, and that makes me excited as like a competitor. So if you're out, if the last 6 months meant nothing to you and now you've moved on to a Twins team that might not win 70 games, have fun, enjoy your summer. I hope it's warm, but I'm excited about this. Like, if they did come out of this, you've talked a lot about this team can make the finals, and I've kind of been a little weary, but if this team just wins this series, forget everything else, forget every other playoff series. Mm-hmm. If the Wolves beat the Suns in this series, whoever they play in the second round, probably Denver, I think the Wolves will be favored because I think the media will look at it and be like,
whoa,
they played that team. They never beat them in the regular season, and they beat them in 5, 6, 7, and now they're fearless. Now they have no monkey on their back. They're not the
Anthony Edwards
champ.
Will be getting the national spotlight and
if
love.
If Karl-Anthony Towns beats Kevin Durant in a playoff series, regardless of if they match up or not, a lot of these guys are going to get a lot of their Q scores just flying through the ceiling because it's like they did it. They finally, you know, first win in 20 years. So I don't know, man. It's kind of like the Purple Daily, win one before I die. I think to be the best, you kind of got to beat the best. And this is the hardest matchup. And if you can make it through this, you're such a dangerous team the rest of the way. And it's going to be hard. And Finch is going to have to coach way better than he's coached all season. He's going to have to, you know, I think he was on with PA today and said they need to embrace their size more. That's probably how they'll match up early is we got here being big. We're going to stay big.
Yeah.
But like Dan and I talked about, if that doesn't work, you know, if Karl on KD doesn't work come games 1 and 2, Finch is going to have to pull the plug and say, I'm going to go small and just be like, big ball size matters. That's still our thing. But this is, you know, Dane was talking about chess. This is more of like boxing to me. You gotta punch back and you got to do things that maybe we haven't seen before. Maybe that's Nikhil starting alongside Mike and Ant and, you know, Jaden at the four. But I'm excited. From a Suns thing, congrats. You were right. I think you and I always love being wrong. Also, if you're a young up-and-comer, there's nothing wrong with like, I don't know, you and I do 200 hours of podcasts a year on the Timberwolves. We're probably going to say something stupid.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, thankfully, I haven't done that yet. But, like, it's, you know, I'm learning from you. And, no, yeah, I mean, first of all, I am very excited for this series.
It's going to be awesome. This is
while
the best series
is,
in the first round.
It is definitely the hardest matchup just based on everything. It's styles make fights, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that the Suns are the best team in the Western Conference or that the Suns didn't have a bunch of weird hiccups against other teams or that the Suns weren't down 36-4 against the Clippers backups a week ago. Like, it means that the Suns are a hard boxing opponent for the Timberwolves to this point. And even though I rank them as the number one team that I just would rather not face, I would rather avoid that smoke. I am looking forward to this series. I think this team has shown over 2 years that they can reach into their bag and find an adjustment and get lineups that maybe didn't work in certain scenarios or portions of the last 2 years to work better. So I think what's a little unsettling about the matchup beyond everything you just said is if you start to do like tail of the tape and you start to rank the top 10 players in the series, and we did some of this last Thursday when we were going through all the teams. Kevin Durant's the best player in the series. You could make a very strong case based on track record, playoff experience, that you would put Devin Booker above Anthony Edwards. Although I think if you're getting the best version of Ant and the defense, the best version of Ant, I think, is the second best player in this series. But we talk about Chris Finch and just how great of a mastermind he's been and how he's been able to, from year one to year two, figure out the Gobert, Naz Reid, Cat puzzle. He's been able to elevate Anthony Edwards' game and get to him in some certain ways, right? But Frank Vogel is the Suns coach, and Frank Vogel has also been a great coach in the playoffs the last 10 or 12 years. You know, the bubble season, helping to bring that LeBron Lakers team together, and maybe even more impressively because he didn't have LeBron and Anthony Davis on those Pacers teams from 10 or 12 years ago. He was putting up fights with those Pacers teams against the Heat dynasty. So, you know, it's not like you're going up against some schlep head coach with the Suns, but I will say this, and maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me if I'm just being a homer idiot. I feel like the punches that the Suns are throwing are their punches. Like, this is their lineup. This is their rotation. It doesn't go a whole lot deeper than like eight guys. Like they're not going to roll out. They don't have like two or three secret weapons or a bunch of different lineup combinations. It's like, here it is. Like, these are the guys that are just beating you. I feel like the Timberwolves have some other levers they can pull if they have the stomach to.
Yep.
And you and Dane brought that up. It's like, start big. I'm totally fine with starting big. This is what got you here. Lean on them if you can. Use your size to your advantage, even though it hasn't worked well in the previous three matchups. But if it doesn't work and you get beat by 20 again in game one, or get beat at all, really, like, can you get to a point where you are playing only one big at a time? I mean, our guy Jake Painting, Howls and Growls, we reference him all the time on this show. He does a great job. He has a YouTube channel. And he said he's going to put some film reviews out this week. He was tweeting up yesterday, 2 days ago, and said, based on my early study of this, it feels like the Wolves need to only have one big man on the court as often as they can, which is a complete deviation from what got them flirting with the one seed to begin with, right? Do they have the stomach to do that, win the series in a different way, keep everyone's ego bloated, and keep everyone from, you know, turning on the coach? I don't know, man. Like, it's going to be a really interesting chess match from that perspective.
And again, back to the original power rankings of who would be the hardest. Yeah, you were right, and I was maybe wrong. Although, again, I still think the Lakers have been tough. But, like, there isn't an easy matchup in the West. This isn't the East where the play-in games are the Bulls and the Hawks, which, ironically, are probably the two biggest opponents that have given the Wolves hell this year. But
in fact, if you could have just won, like, you know, an extra game against the Bulls or the Hawks, ironically, you might be.
And, you know, all season when things were going really well for the Wolves, there was this notion of do it in the playoffs. I mean, I'm just trying to call it, Phil, how I see it, because I thought the timeline on Sunday was embarrassing. And it's like, I get wanting to, you know, you've been broken up so many times, you don't want to do it again, but that's just not how I enjoy my sports. So, like, kind of bring it on, you know? Like, what have the Suns done in the postseason with this team,
well,
specifically?
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because it was a different iteration of the Suns, different coach, Chris Paul instead of Kevin Durant. But not that long ago, the Suns looked like the dominant team in the playoffs and then two games into the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bucks took a deep breath. Oh boy, whew, really tough first two games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's adjust. Let's throw a counterpunch. They found some things in games three, games four, and all of a sudden it was Bucks in six, right? Like, in the NBA, what you see in two or three games of sample size doesn't have to be how it plays out in game four, game five, game six, playoffs versus regular season. And the Suns, and there's still, like, Devin Booker was a featured piece of that Suns team that blew a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals to the Bucks. So, like, you can counter what they're doing. We just have to see if the Wolves can do it. And then,
right,
like, there's a whole box of questions that opens up if they don't, right? Like, if the Suns beat this team in five or six or seven games,
then
what does the offseason look
them.
Like?
Yeah, and, like, yeah. But that, you know, again, my point is just on this keep the same energy vibe. Every time the Wolves did something good, it was like, do it in April, do it in May. So, yeah, I have seen that Devin Booker is 11-1 against Ant, that Ant is 0-8 against Bradley Beal. I don't know, do it in the playoffs. Right? Like, why is that not the same energy? Do that stuff in... What has Bradley Beal done in the postseason, you know? What has this trio done? I've kind of befriended some of, like, the PHNX guys, kind of like DNVR, that cover the Nuggets. Really good group of people covering the Suns, but they posted an article, like, 8 days ago, could Frank Vogel be a one-and-done head coach? During those two Clippers games where they lost the first Clippers game and then were down six in the back-to-back against the Clippers, and they didn't play Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, or Russell Westbrook. The Suns, and this was my point last week, I still test that they have, because they've shown this throughout the regular season, not a glass jaw, but at times if you really ruffle them, they haven't fought back. They are clearly maybe one of the hottest teams entering the postseason, but, like, so are the Lakers, so are the Mavs. So you're going to have to beat someone good to get this last, you know, this is kind of like the wrestling thing. Like, you're going to have to beat the final boss here to put a cap on what has been the second best season in 35 years.
And if you
exactly. And if this team flames out, then you have answers about guys that you and others and have had questions about for a long time. You know, is Karl-Anthony Towns the right fifth starter for this team moving forward? Is Jaden McDaniels worth, you know, the money that he's going to increase starting next season? Is Chris Finch the right coach? So, but we don't, you never learn any of that stuff in the regular season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many teams, there's so much talent in the West, and half those teams are going to be in Cancun 14 days from now. And that could be the Clippers, it could be the Mavs, it could be the Lakers, it could be the Nuggets. So I'm embracing this because you're going to get a playoff series against some of the more established stars in this league, especially KD and Booker. I know Anthony Edwards looks at himself as the best. I mean, this kind of ties into Team USA, but he thinks he should start on Team USA. He thinks he's the best shooting guard in the league. You know, prove it then. Just go play better than Devin Booker. I know we want to harp on Carl and how he's looked since he's come back, and it has not been great. And we want to harp on some other guys. You know, what those stats I just said, 11-1, Booker against Ant, 8-0, Bradley Beal against Ant. Ant has 43 points and 42 shots this season against the Suns in three games, yeah. All losses. So he's going to have to step up too.
What do you make of him only getting, was it seven shots off in like 37 minutes or something?
Only thing I have is like conspiracy Kyle saying that there was some sort of communication behind the scenes to Judd's theory that they just were not going to show anything because they sense that if we really show some of our cards here, that we could still end up playing the Suns in a 2-7 matchup or something. So it was a disappointing way to conclude the season. This was not the third best team in the West. This was a top two team in the West all year long. And to kind of stumble like that was unfortunate. I still don't understand all the tiebreakers, by the way. Like, why?
Yeah, not that it ultimately...
not that it mattered, but I just don't really get it.
It is weird that you can be... And this only really mattered going into Sunday because... at the end of the day, like they lost on Sunday, but going into Sunday, three-way tie for the one seed in the Western Conference. The Wolves had the head-to-head matchup on Denver, or no? Yeah.
I mean, they were. I thought they were 3-1 against Denver. I'd have to go look. I don't know, but they had good tiebreakers.
Yes, but it's weird because the conference record didn't come into play until like after the totality of your record against the other two teams,
right?
It was very confusing. I do want to come back to the Team USA thing because that is breaking news today that Anthony Edwards is part of Team USA basketball for the 2024 Summer Olympics. And we can kind of go through like a roster pecking order there. But let's do the ranking the players in the series thing here. Just okay. I'd love your thoughts on tail of the tape here.
Okay.
So do we both agree that Kevin Durant is the best player in the series?
Yeah. Okay. Coming into it, yeah. I mean, he's proven the most.
The crazy thing about him is, because I think Jaden McDaniels is going to be told, not that he's the only one they're going to run at Durant, but he's going to be told, if you do one thing for the next 2 weeks, it's make life as hard as possible on Kevin Durant. Now, Kat might get some run on Durant. We'll have to see like how it matches up. But the problem is, Durant has played 12, 13 years of playoff basketball, and every opponent has run somebody at him that they think is going to give him a hard time. And he has led the playoffs in scoring average four different times. A fifth year, he averaged 34 points in three series and didn't lead the playoffs in scoring average. So it's tough because you can sit here on paper and be like, okay, if this doesn't work with Kat, then you can run Jaden at him and you can run Kyle at him over here and run this. Like, I mean, for 12 years, everyone's been running everyone at him, and he still scores 32 points per game in the playoffs because he's ridiculous. So, I mean, until proven otherwise, he's number one. Who's number two? Who's the second best player in the series for you?
I think it's Devin Booker until Ant proves otherwise. And yeah, I'm clearly like an Ant guy. So I would love for us to do a pod 10 days from now where it's like, hey, remember when we had KD 1 and Booker 2? It's been Ant 1, 2, 3, 4, and maybe Ant Jr. 5. Like, I'm willing to be wrong again. There's nothing wrong. There's no issue with being wrong producing content. So it's Booker. He's gone farther. He's done more. He has a longer resume. But that should be something that gets printed out and stapled to Ant's locker. It's like, hey, man, you're not even one of the two best players in this series. You haven't been able to do anything against any of these guys. You look up to KD, you've never beaten Brad, your bad record against Devin Booker. Like, now's the time to just like the Wolves have done all year by wiping away one embarrassing record after another, just Ant. You can, Anthony Edwards can probably just buy himself a starting job on Team USA in the next 10 days. If he just completely outplays Devin Booker on both ends and just makes his life a living hell like they've made his life a living hell all regular season.
Yeah. And I do think, because we've seen him elevate, you know, Anthony Edwards averages like 5 more points per game in the playoffs than his regular season career. So is that him long term, where he's just a guy, he's one of those rare dudes that's just a dog and he elevates playing the best players in the world? To this point, it's been yes. But I'm with you. I think he has to prove it in this series. So it goes Durant, Booker, Ant 3. Is Gobert 4? Is Cat? Here's the problem. Like, I think it's Gobert or Cat above Bradley Beal. At least this, like, Suns version of Bradley Beal. But with Cat, I'm talking about, like, the regular season peak version of Cat being maybe the fourth best player in the series. If we're getting the erratic, rusty, inconsistent version of Cat, then I wouldn't put him fourth on this list. So what's 4, 5, 6?
Gobert's 4. I mean, he's playing some of the best basketball of his career. Maybe he's slipped a third of a step defensively, but offensively, I mean, he was giving the Suns real fits, and that's just another kind of topic to focus on, or, you know, to put a pin in as the series starts and moves forward. Is you don't really want to have the offense running through Rudy Gobert, but he did have like 11 straight points in that third corner as they were kind of making a run back, because they don't have an answer for him. And as you dive into this Suns team, they're so loaded. They have a traditional kind of big three, which has not a lot of teams really lean into anymore. But like with Nurkic, for example, once he's off the floor and he can get into a ton of foul trouble, both just setting some illegal screens, just he's a very physical player. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing the Suns have shown in 3 games against Minnesota. They just are the more physical team. And that has to change. Like, that just has to simply flip if Minnesota wants to start getting. And I even heard Ant after the game on Sunday talk about like free throws. I think the Wolves had 31 and the Suns had 18. So it's like, it's not free throws, right? There's a difference between being physical and like getting fouls.
Yeah.
But if you get Nurk off the floor, they don't really have any other size. Like, they have Drew Eubanks, Oregon State's own, but they don't really, the fans don't like playing them. I don't think the coaching staff likes playing them either. So to me, it's Gobert 4, and then 5 and 6 would be who can, you know, prove more of the doubters wrong. Because as much Carl doubters as there are in this market or in general, there's a lot of people that don't really think Bradley Beal is good either. And he's maybe playing his best basketball of his career. I mean, he's been cooking these last 2 weeks. So
it's a great situation for him, because he's like a proven 30-point scorer on a bad team. And now he gets to sort of nestle in with these other two future Hall of Famers. But it's like, you've got a 30-point scorer sitting in here. If he needs to unleash it, he can. He doesn't have to with this team. So yeah, it's kind of like Towns or Beal, flip a coin on
5 or 6.
Yep. And then it's a bin of like Nurkic, Nas. If Nas is getting the minutes, and if Nas is playing like Nas, I think he's probably next. But then it's like Nas, Nurkic, Grayson Allen led the league in 3-point percentage. Mike Conley. I'd even like stump for Royce O'Neal is a good little role player for the Suns too. And then whatever Jaden can bring, like, how do we fill out the last 4?
I would have Beal and Carl 5 or 6, and then I would definitely have Nas with a bullet at 7. And then, yeah, if you reside in the Valley, you're going to have Royce O'Neal, Eric Gordon, Grayson Allen kind of rounding out that top 10. And if you live in Minnesota, you're going to have guys like Nikhil, Mike Conley, obviously, maybe even Kyle Anderson if you're a slow-mo guy. I do wonder where slow-mo will fit into this type of series, because Frank Vogel is a really good defensive coach, and he's, anytime Kyle's on the floor, whoever's assigned to him is probably just going to be way off of him. So even Kyle's kind of duck-ins to these little mid-range floaters, that's not really great offense. He's great defensively, but can you just find other guys? I mean, fouling out isn't a be-all, end-all stat, but Jaden just doesn't really foul out anymore. And granted, the NBA has tweaked some of the rules and stuff, but to me, if Carl or Jaden are in the game, they're just on KD. And that's like the first thing. And then everything else cycles down. So yeah, the ranking of the players, the hierarchy, the top 10, it's probably pretty mixed, right? Like, you probably have each team has 4 of the 8 best players, but Minnesota still has depth and other levers to pull. Like I said, you can start Nikhil. You can, you know, start Nas. You can do so many different things to even get bigger or to get smaller. Phoenix is going to basically play those 3 guys and then just surround them with shooting and occasional, you know, Nurkic. And I think Nurk is better than most people think, but I think getting him off the floor will be a really big step for Finch and these guys, because then the Suns will still guard Ant with this kind of triangle defense that, that Dane's been talking about. But if there's no one at the rim, man, I mean, there should be no reason that the Wolves, whether it be Ant getting to the rim via not straight line drives, but, you know, more creative play calling, moving the ball around, trusting the pass, all that stuff. But also, I don't think Rudy should play any less just because you got to go smaller. If anything, mm-hmm. Carl's minutes have got to go down, Nas. But Rudy, to me, again, what, 10 for 10 against the Suns the other day or something? Like,
yeah.
He has to play as much as possible, if not more, because defensively he still gives you so much with rebounding. I mean, the Wolves give up 13 offensive rebounds on Sunday. We can't go back to that Memphis series where you get out-rebounded and that's why you lose. So Rudy's got to play a lot. And then offensively, if they're small, punish them. Like, that's what Finch is going to do for games one and maybe game two, is we have to lean into our strength and our size and punish them when we're bigger than them on the court.
I don't know if I can do another playoff season and another offseason of a Rudy Gobert team gets bounced early in the playoffs and it's because Rudy Gobert gets played off the court. You know, like that game on Sunday, Rudy was the reason why they came back and cut it to like 9. I mean, just feeding him in the low post and him playing some defense. To me, it's a lot of this is going to be on Anthony Edwards making correct decisions, which we've seen way more this season than any other year in his young career, making correct decisions. I think you're going to, he might have to average like 9 assists in this series. If they're going to play mm-hmm. that triangle defense mm-hmm. and they're going to make it a mission where, dude, you're not going to get 24 shots off. We're not going to let you beat us and score 32 points. Okay. Then can he find other ways to find Rudy? Can he find other ways to get guys open in the corner? I mean, a lot of it's going to come down to Anthony Edwards solving a Rubik's Cube, I think. And because I don't think you can win this series by just leaning into defense. This is a team that held the Wolves offensively to 87 points in their second matchup. So, like, you're going to have to find a way to score 112, 115 points, which is going to take more offense than they've shown in most of these games, quite frankly, despite, like, some of the garbage time comebacks. I keep going back to this in terms of stat porn, which we haven't done that in a few weeks on the show. I know, like, the matchup is weird and the Suns have dominated, but historically, the number one net rating defense in the regular season translates very well to the postseason. The last 30 years, this is like the third time in 7 months that we've gone over this statistic. And it's more noteworthy now to calm down some of these nervous, anxious Wolves fans than ever. If you finish with the number one net rating defense in the regular season, which the Wolves did, you advance in the playoffs 87% of the time. So just having that as your calling card and leaning into it, you make the conference finals 68% of the time, and you make the NBA finals 35% of the time. Now, on the flip side, the Cavs last year were the number one net rating defense in the NBA. Boom, first round exit. And then the 21 Lakers were the same. They were number one net rating defense, first round exit.
That Cavs one is a series I've been talking about with some of my friends on just text threads and stuff. Not because the Knicks, who beat them, played a similar style to the Suns, but it was another one of those times where, like, my biggest takeaway from Sunday or this three games is that the Wolves just got punched every time and never punched back. Like, that they were so on their heels and the Suns were always on their toes. And that's why, like, if you want to say it's chess or checkers, or to me, it's really truly more of a fight analogy of, you got to come out Saturday night to an arena. I mean, again, you have an extra game at home. You're one of, I think, 8 or 9 teams this season that sold out all 41 of their home games. I think that's noteworthy for a franchise that has been in, you know, decades of futility, and the fans still show up to this thing. You got to make that place a living hell for the Suns, and then you got to come out and punch back. You can't be, you know, first quarters, whatever the answer is, I think I have some ideas. I think you have some ideas, but you just got to come out and win the first quarter. Like, if you want to figure out this game, you got to bet the Wolves to be up in the first quarter. You got to come out swinging and kind of play with a level of desperation that, you know, this team really hasn't really ever had. But conversely, they've also never lost 3 games in a row. They've never really lost or let go of the rope, in a sense. So I expect them to come out on Monday or on Saturday kind of firing, because I think you can lose game one and not be overly concerned, but you have to lose it close. if they lose game one by 15 points, it might be over. And I don't even embrace that. It's just from a mentality standpoint, it would just show again, like, why do you not have some sort of pivot or counter move to what the Suns, like you said earlier, the Suns are kind of showing you, like, this is how we're going to punch. This is where we're going to come at you at. If you can't address that this week, then that goes to a bigger picture of, are all the right pieces in place for this franchise, a franchise that we don't know who the owners are, but at least we know all eight of the best players are signed for next year. The coaching staff signed for next year. You got to figure out, are there any holes in that hierarchy?
We do know that they showed up to the last two home games, though, gloriously sitting courtside right across from Glenn Taylor.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend for sure.
Man, I hope that, let's say this thing is still lingering at the end of the Sun series and the Wolves, what would be the home dispatching game five? Let's say it's a, because it's what's the first round? Is it 2-2, 1-1, 1-1?
Yeah.
So you go two. It's either game five or game seven at home. And they knock off the Suns in game five or game seven. Can we just get like one high five, Glenn and Mark? Just one. Doesn't have to be a truce. Just an awkward high five as we celebrate the Wolves moving on for the first time since 2004.
What do you, just peel it back a little bit to this Minnesota sports discussion. How did you feel Sunday? I mean, you're plugged in. You cover all these teams. Did you, other than being like, okay, the hill to push this rock up maybe is a little steeper, or it's like Camelback Mountain, it's a little hotter out there, but
yeah.
I guess my thing is, did you really think that there was any easy matchup outside of a Kings team that was banged up, which was really threading a needle with how the play-in worked? The Wolves have had a great season. This has been a lot of fun for you and I and the listeners in six great months of basketball, but it's a completely different language now, and if you can't speak it, then we're just going to have more clarity on who you trust moving forward with some of the stuff. I mean, you know, even to like the sit start stuff, if Jaden, to your point about ice, I told Dane that I think if Ant averages 10 assists in any game, that they'll win that game. Like, that would be a barometer for me. It's like, if Ant has double digit assists, that means that he was making the reads, he saw the rain coming, and he figured it out, and they probably won that game. But like, if Jaden can't hit these spot up threes despite being, you know, all world defense, then just play Nas over him more. Like, if I'm Finch, and maybe this is a thing he knows by talking to either new ownership or old ownership or whatever, but he should feel empowered to do what he did with D'Lo. Make the best decision for the team, regardless of politics. Like, who cares? As long as Anthony Edwards is out there, you know, that's part of the benefit of this being his team now. Whatever helps Ant get unlocked, because again, a lot of the issues that they've had against the Suns, you can't be the face of the, you know, this is like the quarterback stuff, Phil, for football. You can't be the quarterback and get all the love when your team wins, and then your team loses, not get all the heat.
Yeah.
And 43 shots or 43 points on 42 shots, that's heat. That's you not being able to figure this out. So if he, 2 weeks from now, is the best player in this series, I don't think any other analysis matters. If Anthony Edwards is the best player in this series, which he has not been for the three regular season games, they're going to win the series in six games. And I think they are going to win the series in six games.
Oh, so okay. Wow. There we go. There's your prediction. Wolves in six. Wolves in six. So they went on the road. They beat them in. They demoralized them in the Valley.
I think they split at home. They split in Phoenix. I'll be in Phoenix for all these things. Win game five and then close it out in game six.
I think it's a seven game series.
That's fine. Seven was more of me hedging my own emotions of like, oh my God. If there's a game seven, I'm not going to it. I'm doing a darkness retreat. Dude. With a Wi-Fi signal. I'm not going to be around people and watch me respond to every basket.
Here's my prediction right now. I should save this for write that down tomorrow on Mackie and Judd 2. In fact, I'm going to write this down.
Forward mine to the group. Wolves in six.
Okay. Wolves in seven.
Okay.
Kevin Garnett shows up for game seven. That's my prediction. I'm not reporting. I don't have any inside information. I know sometimes you and I can put our big J journalist caps on the show. This is not one of those moments.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of
But I think
scoops,
if it but... gets to that point and it's just a banger of a series, I don't see how, even with Glenn Taylor in the building, I don't see how KG can stay away. He loves Anthony Edwards. He wants back in so badly. He's clearly been talking to Alex for the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
He wants back into this thing. How could you resist the new guard, Anthony Edwards, putting an end to the old guard and Kevin Durant inside your arena, Kevin Garnett? So that's my
Hey, you know what? They also might lose in five. Like, I'm realistic.
Absolutely. Realistically, they could lose in four, dude. They're more likely to lose in four if they can't get out of Phoenix.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would be shocked if they lose games one and two. Like, real shocked. I know Wolves PTSD, but I really am excited. This has been a... Dane always jokes that it's no longer, like, faux pas to be a Wolves fan. Yeah. If anything, right now in this market, being a Wolves fan might be the coolest sport you can cheer for. But I think game one on Saturday, Pat, I mean, I don't know if you've seen ticket prices, but...
Yeah, what are we at right now?
GDP of Columbia to get into
this. What's the secondary market right now?
I'm excited for the fans that haven't let go of the rope, that haven't put up their guards yet, that are a little more on the front line Saturday at, I don't know if it's 4 o'clock at Target Center or whatever.
It says, is it not confirmed yet? On StubHub, it says 1 o'clock right now. But
I've seen a couple of different like sports books that have 4 o'clock.
It's TBA. It's TBA.
But I'm just, let's bring it on, right? I mean, this is kind of just... how I think a lot of people look at sports in general or competition, just check ball, throw the tip, and see if you can, you know, if you get beaten four games, Tim Connelly is going to have the easiest summer ever because you're just going to be able to diagnose what the holes in this thing are in the boat, and you're just going to plug one hole at another by getting rid of someone, swapping someone out. Fight. Show something. You've talked a big game. You've erased a lot of demons and ghosts for the last 20 years, and this is the final boss. Go beat him, and then if you come out of that and Ant at 22 has surpassed Devin Booker in kind of the hierarchy of shooting guards, and Karl-Anthony Towns has a playoff win against Kevin Durant, it's going to kind of be house money. They're going to be the most dangerous team.
And you've beaten the brakes off Denver this season. Like, so, yeah, but you're right. The variance here is very high and wide, and that it would be hard to not at least mentally accept the fact that they could get swept or beaten five games by a team that has smoked them in three games. Like, it is within the realm of possibility that they could lose this. I don't think if they played the Kings, I don't think getting swept is in the realm of possibilities. Losing a series against any of these teams is. But I think getting swept or beaten five is a realistic scenario. I also think winning in five, six, or seven, mm-hmm. if they tweak a couple things. But to your question earlier just about how do I feel sort of surveying the fans and the feeling? There's this palpable sense of doom from Minnesota sports fans. And by the way, you can feel it in the arenas and the stadiums. Yep. And I'm telling you, dude, like, you nailed it. If they don't come out hot in game one, if they once again are down by 15 points with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, that creeping sense of sports death, that quiet feeling that every Minnesota sports fan who's been in an arena for a Wild game, for a Wolves game, inside Target Field for 20 years, or the Metrodome of playoff failures, or the Vikings when things start going sideways, we get real quiet, real nervous. We start getting in our heads. So, like, that is something to keep an eye on. I'm trying to thread the needle between across Score North. And on these podcasts, I think it's important for us to have high standards for our Minnesota sports teams. Because I do think media volume and the noise of fans and the expectations of media and fans, I do think that matters to some extent. And that's why on Purple Daily, we criticize the Vikings if they aren't pushing towards some blueprint that is win a Super Bowl. Yep. Maybe not like tomorrow, but are you on a path to winning a Super Bowl? So I personally, and it sounds dumb because it's like, I don't have any influence. I'm just like sitting in this office with a microphone wearing a gopher hooded sweatshirt. Like, no one listens to me or gives a rip. But I think we should hold our teams to a high standard because 1991 was the last time a men's team won a championship, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL in this town. So like, it's time to start winning some championships again. But like, as I'm threading this needle... So, yes, I want the Wolves. Like, the Wolves should not be happy with just losing for in the sure. first round and, oh, but it was a good regular season. Like, it would be a failure if they lost this series. So I want to state that plainly.
Facts.
And even if the worst-case scenario were to happen, it's not a dead end for the franchise because you have a 22-year-old Anthony Edwards. You have a 23-year-old Naz Reid. You had 23-year-old Jaden McDaniels and whatever his future is going to be. So it wouldn't feel like the end of something if they didn't beat the Suns, it would be wildly disappointing. It would be a failure. But you just said it too. Like, there's a couple chess moves that you can make in July that put you right back in the 50, 55, 60 win mix in the regular season. You run it back with a couple tweaks and a different set of characters. Like, there are paths forward if you don't go deep in this year's playoffs. So that's the needle I'm trying to thread.
Have you ever been unemployed?
Knock on wood. Not since I was 22 years old.
Because, like, before I moved out to Portland, like, I just didn't have a job. And when you're applying for jobs or trying to reach out to people via LinkedIn or whatever to, like, network or grab coffee, like, the worst case scenario was just, like, what? Not hearing back? Not getting the interview?
Yeah.
Like, what's the, I mean, cause to your point, and I'm not parsing your words, I think we're both on the same page here. It's just, what is the worst case scenario here? That they lose in the first round to a good team?
And they still have Anthony Edwards, 22.
And again, I'm really not trying to preach. This is just, I am a fan. That's why you hired me here. That's why Dane has me. From my fandom, it's like, it's not blood clots, right? It's not like losing a parent or like a kid. Like, worst case scenario is you get embarrassed and you got to go back to the drawing board with a 22-year-old Ant, 24-year-old Nas, 23-year-old Jaden, and like, and maybe get a new coach or a new something, like, and figure it out. That's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario for the Mavs, if they lose to the Clippers, is that like Luka demands a trade because he's had enough and he's been there longer. They haven't figured out. The worst case scenario for the Lakers is LeBron leaves.
He's 40. He's gonna be 40.
This angle of fear. It's like, if the worst case scenario here is you just don't get the job, then keep ripping out applications. Keep bugging people. Like, I just don't. Yes, this is the toughest job to get into against the Phoenix Suns, but I don't know, man. Like, Phoenix fans are also at the same exact time that they're cheering on their Suns, watching their hockey team get moved to Salt Lake City. That's not happening. The Wolves aren't going to move. I don't care what cynical 75-year-old hiding behind a Where's Waldo 69 account is saying. Like, they're not going anywhere. You have
that
all
was
your
awfully
teams.
Specific.
Right? You have all your teams here. Like,
is that your burner?
That might be my burner. I'm not preaching. It's just, it's going to be me and, you know, maybe a dozen other people in Braveheart costumes on Saturday. It's like, okay, they've never done anything. It's time. It's time for Ant, who has his own shoe and a movie and is going to be all NBA. Like, you think, you tell people close to you that you're the best shooting guard in the league, then just do it. You get more home games. You've been great on the road. You've dropped 40 in Phoenix with Carl also dropping 40. You know, the regular season, when it was good for the Wolves, was the regular season. The regular season, when it was bad for the Wolves, needs to be the regular season. Mm-hmm. It's a clean slate, Saturday afternoon, Target Center, 55 degrees, hopefully sunny. Come, you know, with a couple beverages in you and get ready to rock that place, because it's going to be the best atmosphere since Kevin Garnett left 20 years ago.
By the way, producer Ross with some good information here that Vegas Insider currently has the Wolves as the 9th favorite to win the finals, behind, in order, the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Bucks, which...
Yeah, get out of
really?
Here.
Really? Dude, Giannis is out for the first part of that series against the Pacers, right? They're playing the Pacers, I think. And even if they had Giannis, they were under 500 in the Doc Rivers era, so... miss me with that Milwaukee Bucks stuff here. The Mavericks, the Thunder, the Sixers, who have to get through the play-in.
Right.
So that's an interesting one. And Phoenix. Phoenix is just above the Wolves on this list.
I'm telling you, however which way, if you just knew that the Wolves survived this series and advanced to the second round, that Vegas Insider, whoever it may be, it's going to be the Celtics, the Nuggets, and then the Wolves.
Agreed.
Even if the Thunder advance, it'll be the Wolves.
Yeah, it depends on how the Thunder look in the first round. If they dispatch of, which, by the way, that's another interesting theme here in the Western Conference. You've got major old guard versus new guard vibes up and down the bracket.
Oh,
so
it's the greatest Western Conference playoff bracket of all time.
You've got new guard Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards versus old guard Kevin Durant, 35 years old Suns. You've got potentially new guard Thunder versus old guard Warriors, mm-hmm, or old guard Lakers in the first round. And then you've got, I wouldn't say new or old guard, you just have the King of the Mountain Nuggets who might dispatch. So I call that new. That's new. That's new money in the NBA, yeah, with Jokic. But you've, so it's possible that the Thunder dispatch of the Warriors, the Wolves dispatch the Suns, and then the Nuggets take care of the Lakers. And it's Durant, Curry, all these guys, LeBron, that the NBA has been building its marketing around for the last 10 years. And now we turn forward to SGA and Anthony Edwards. I think Jokic is already, obviously, he's possibly a three-time MVP. But that dynamic, the old guard versus new guard, is a really interesting one in the Western Conference. Pelicans, sure. too, dude. For like, sure. It could be like Zion taking out LeBron in the play-in, and they advance as the seventh seed.
NBA narratives, NBA transactions, blockbuster deals, they all happen because of the basketball that's about to be played, not because of the stuff that took place over the last 6 months. So there's going to be a whole slew of new storylines and trade demands and stock up, stock down. But I don't know, man. You don't really pimp out singles in baseball. You pimp out and you know, bat toss home runs. So this is an opportunity for this organization that has had a pretty clean slate of chaos on the court, at least for the last couple of years, seems to be headed in the right direction, to hit a home run. And if you strike out, go back to the dugout, figure it out, come back with hopefully a better rotation, a better, you know, lead manager or whatever. But I'm excited to watch these two teams play basketball because unlike any other matchup in the West, this one you have a week to know, okay, we've done nothing. And typically when this team has been kind of put against the wall in that situation, they've responded, except against Phoenix. So we're going to learn a lot, not just about Chris Finch and Karl Anthony Towns, but Rudy Gobert. This is a similar style of opponent that ruined his reputation with that Clippers team. It's going to be a lot of guys shooting a lot of threes and a lot of spacing. Can Rudy, you know, Rudy didn't have any backup when he was in Utah trying to defend that. He's got premier, I mean, I don't know if you saw Kendrick Perkins today, but he voted Ant, Jaden, and Rudy all defensive team first and second. So this is the best team Rudy's probably ever had from a defensive standpoint. This is the best group of teammates Carl's had, Ant's had, best group Finch has ever coached. So it is put up or shut up time. But for a fan base, I think you can walk into it Saturday fearless. And if the Wolves let you down, I mean, who among us, right? Who has not been let down by the Minnesota Timberwolves in the last 20 years?
Yeah. I want to let's wrap this podcast with, I just want to give you the reported 2024 Summer Olympics USA men's basketball team here. Anthony Edwards is part of it. And we saw, by the way, I'm less interested in the Olympics and whether they win the gold. Like, of course, I want the USA to win the gold. But I'm more interested in what this experience does to elevate Anthony Edwards, the Timberwolf.
That's a good point.
Because the World Cup absolutely elevated him. The time he got to spend with some of the best coaches and players in the world. And now this is an even better roster because now you get to spend the summer with Steph Curry and LeBron James and some all-time GOATs. Is he going to take another jump because of that competition? But it's LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, and then Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton. And then it says Team USA Managing Director Grant Hill is keeping one roster slot open ahead of a July training camp so they can just kind of add whoever.
Yeah, probably Leonard Miller. Fit.
Yeah, Leonard Miller would be a great secret weapon.
You know, there's two ways to look at that. And I had not thought about it since you even brought it up because it's just kind of a passing. A couple other things randomly, like the Suns' top assistant was hired today to coach BYU. So that's kind of an interesting wrinkle. I think he's going to stay with the team throughout the playoffs, but interesting wrinkle. Also too, if you haven't yet, go check out the Rudy Gobert Players Tribune article. One of the coolest things ever and gives you another perspective of who Rudy Gobert is. But to this, Anthony Edwards is going to spend his whole summer just working out with historically some of the best players to ever play basketball. So that is another, like, what is the worst case scenario here? The Wolves get embarrassed. They're the punchline again for the 20th straight year, and then they have to go back into the lab. That's going to be great for Ant. I mean, he's going to make an all-NBA team this year and be kind of acknowledged as one of the 15 best players in the league. That'll be a $50 million bonus for him on his extension. But also, he's going to get even better this summer. But if the Wolves could win this series, you also have an Anthony Edwards now who's going into the second round of a playoffs as a 22-year-old going into a summer, however far they could go. That's the biggest time for recruiting, man. Biggest time for recruiting. If the Wolves beat the Suns in five and you get Ant talking to KD at some Paris, you know, coffee shop and he's like, hey, man, you can't do it with the Suns. I'm the best shooting guard in the league. You know, let go of Devin. Come hang out with me. That's how this stuff happens. You know what I mean? Like Tyrese Haliburton would love to play with Ant. I think he's pretty solidified in Indiana. But
Kat and Devin Booker are longtime great friends. If the Suns feel like they hit a wall, the Suns could get a little younger, keep the chemistry with Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns, and the Wolves could rent Kevin Durant for a minute.
There's so many other storylines. If you want to, maybe we'll do this Thursday, but not only the Booker-Karl relationship, but I said this today, and these two teams represent the biggest, most criticized trades, I think, in NBA history. Mm-hmm. With the Gobert trade and the Durant trade. I mean, now those two teams are facing off, two teams that kind of went all in with their chips. To a lesser extent, you know, you have TJ Warren against his old team. You have Josh Okogie against his old team. I don't know if either of those guys will play any more minutes than I will, but it's going to be a really, really fascinating series. And then you add in the stuff where Ant thinks he's better than Booker, and he'll tell you that. Booker obviously thinks he's better than Ant. Bradley Beal thinks he's the president of the United States. So, and then Grayson Allen, who, if you go back and watch that Sunday game, fouled on every time he was playing defense, and he never got called for. But he's also, you know, you don't think we're playoffs always have technicals and suspensions or ejections and stuff. This is Grayson Allen, by the way, who signed a contract extension, is one of the best shooting guys in the league. He's incredible. He's also Grayson Allen from Duke. So when I talk about punching back, there's a good chance that then Grayson Allen will trip someone. So it's going to be a fascinating, fascinating series with a lot of narratives and storylines, and it all starts on Saturday.
Dude, you know what I would do if I were Kevin Durant and I had like three or four pretty good years left?
I got one. Yeah.
So he's starting this journey with the Suns because people have criticized him up and down for just joining an already ready-made dynasty in Golden State and then latching on for a couple of championships and ruining the league and turning the league upside down. And so he's been trying to get back in the good graces of, I feel like, the greater NBA fan base. If he just went around as a mercenary the last three or four right. years of his career and won the first championship so the Suns have never won a championship. Obviously, the Timberwolves have never won a championship. This is what I mean. If I were him and I've made, what, $500 million playing basketball, or maybe even more than that, and people hate me, and like, what can my legacy be? What if my legacy is the championship giver at the end of my career?
Mm-hmm.
And I chase championships. Oklahoma City, ironically, would be, could you imagine plopping him back on this Oklahoma City team? I mean, they would win a championship. If you put Kevin Durant on this Timberwolves team, I think even in place of Karl Anthony Towns, I think they would win a championship. That's what I would do if I were Kevin Durant. I would be a championship hunting mercenary for teams that have never won a championship before.
His legacy is just like going to these small towns or these smaller markets and just like giving them their first Whole Foods. Yeah. Like, I know you guys have only had Safeways here forever, but here's a new grocery store. No, and you know, that's another wrinkle of this too, is I think Kevin Durant's just one of my five favorite players. So to get to watch, I mean, I still feel things are like, you know, I think about the Grizzlies randomly because of those playoff series they fought, and you just are kind of tied to them for a while. I'm excited to be tied to this Suns team. I do love watching Devin Booker play. I love watching KD play. But as someone who's followed KD as closely as I think anyone that has followed him throughout his career, another little wrinkle, I would want to have my first game at home against Kevin Durant on April 20th. Mm. Let's just say that.
Let's go, dude. Let's go.
420.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. I got you. That's a
good day to play Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I'm tracking you now. By the way, the get-in price secondary market right now, according to Ross, is $52. You can get an upper deck seat at the top of Roseville,
true?
Minnesota.
I didn't think that would be that cheap.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, we'll see if demand goes up.
That might be $52 for a ticket, and then Ticketmaster charges you $650 in fees.
That's what it is. Yeah, 100%. Well, all right, we got to run here. Great episode. Thank you guys for supporting Flagrant Howls as well. If you haven't already clicked the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel, please do so. And also a 5-star rating and a positive review of some kind on Apple and Spotify goes a long way to help us keep growing this thing. You can also find Kyle on Dame Moore's NBA podcast on a regular basis. Flagrant Howls, a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.